Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and praise you and worship you for the privilege to come here today to teach another healing school to get people healed and delivered from the forces of darkness. Lord, we thank you that you are the healer and that you're in us and that you've given us all power over the enemy, and we do not have to put up with the enemy and we do not have to put up with sickness and disease as your children. So, Lord, we thank you and praise you that you healed every one of us on the cross 2,000 years ago. And Lord, I ask you today to reveal that to every human being that's here, that these people here, everybody's here that needs a healing will be healed, and everybody that needs a deliverance will be delivered, and that, Lord, we will see the mighty power that you've given to us be displayed or demonstrated among the people here today as you move by the power of your Spirit and do great and mighty things. Give us revelation and wisdom and understanding and knowledge from the Word of God. And Lord, we thank you and thank you and thank you and praise you for the privilege to have the revelation, to teach your word, to see you do the mighty things you do for your people. And Lord, I praise you and thank you that we're going to occupy till you come. And Lord, we're going to teach the mighty things that you've taught me. And Lord, I'm going to expect to see you do greater and mightier things beyond my wildest dreams at this point. Lord, I thank you and praise you for this day. And for all these people that are here today, may you bless them abundantly. In Jesus' name, amen. Now then, before we start today, as we usually do, who has a testimony, a healing testimony, that you'd like to give about what Jesus has done for you and one of the healing schools? Who has a testimony? Anybody have a testimony today that you'd like to give? Goodness, nobody has one? Nobody has. Oh, Irene, she's going to come up here, Irene. She's going to tell us her testimony. Irene has a tremendous testimony, both for herself and her son. And she's going to tell this to you today. Praise the Lord.
My son Cody was adopted, and we got him when he was about 3 months old, and he always had problems spitting up his formula. And to me, it seemed like it was excessive. And the doctors just kept saying he had a sensitive stomach. But as he got older and started eating solid foods, it just seemed like very little food stayed down. I could pretty much count on him throwing up at least once a day. A whole meal, and because he was sick, you know, he was cranky and a lot of things. You know, he had leg pain, stomach aches all the time, just a lot of things. And we tried different things, the doctor, enzymes, the natural way, and there were some things that curbed that, but he still continued to throw up if he didn't take the medicine. So the first time we went to his healing, to his service right here on a Sunday morning, we were helping stack chairs, my husband and I, and Cody came up to Thurman on his own and just asked him if he would pray for his stomach, not really giving him any detail at all. And Thurman did. And I did not have a lot of faith, I guess. Now I know I didn't. I thought I did. But I was upset that he had come up by himself, because I wanted to explain to him everything that was wrong with Cody so he could pray right. And I was really sort of flustered. So when we finished helping with the chairs, I asked him to pray for him again. And he said, well, I already prayed for him. And okay. So I left sort of frustrated, because I felt like, you know, he didn't get the proper prayers, so he didn't get healed. And so when we got home, I told him to take his medicine, because I didn't want his lunch to come up, and he said no. And I said, you need to take your medicine, because, you know, it's 6 years, I was tired of cleaning up vomit. You know, I mean, I was just tired of cleaning up vomit, and I just said, if you throw up, I'm going to have to spank you for not obeying mommy and taking your medicine. And, he's always had a lot of faith, even before that. If he was sick and I prayed for him, well, did God hear you? Well, am I healed? Well, then I should be able to go play. You know, I mean, that's just how he was. And that's what he did that day. And lo and behold, this last November was a whole year, and he has not thrown up. He is healed. And he eats. He was such a picky eater, because everything he ate bothered him. And he eats, and he eats well, and he scrapes his plate, and he wants seconds. And now all I hear is, I'm hungry, Mom. I'm hungry, Mom. So praise God. I'm so excited. But it has been not just a miracle in that he's healed, but in that It has so reinforced his faith that Cody can pray for people and just in faith believe. And so I have another testimony. Some of you have heard it about, I've never had a boil, but I would say there were probably boils that I had on my leg 1 week. And started on Monday, and they just grew and grew. And by Wednesday, I had one about that big, you know, took up almost my whole thigh. And my husband and I were praying and just believing, and I didn't run to the doctor immediately. I didn't call and try and get antibiotics. I just believed that I would be healed. But by Wednesday, it was so bad that I just thought, I'm going to go get medicine. So I made an appointment. And after I made the appointment, I told Cody, Mom's going to have to go to the doctor, and you're going to have to stay with a sitter. And why? Your leg. Well, let's pray. And he prayed, and he just commanded every bad cell to die. And within an hour, they had reduced by 50%. By the next morning, I was totally fine, and I canceled the appointment with my doctor. Well, Cody gives this testimony every time we come, pretty much, or I do. And not last month, because we weren't here, but the month before, a lady here at the Healing School asked if I ever let Cody pray for people. And we do, but he's 7. Sometimes he'll just say no. And sometimes he just wants to play. So I explained that to her and told her he may say no, but don't get your feelings hurt, you know, but ask him. So she did ask him. And if you're here, raise your hand. She may not be here. He's 7.
7 years old, yeah.
And she had, you know, she just wanted to be healed so badly that she wanted Cody, I guess, to pray for her. And Cody laid hands on her and prayed for her. And she walked off and sat down, and he walked to the back and threw his coat up in the air and kept going, just like a 7-year-old. About 20 minutes later, though, the woman stopped us right before we were walking out the door to say that she came with a cataract, I believe in her right eye, and that's what she asked Cody to pray for her. And when she stopped us, she said her vision had cleared, it was no longer cloudy, and she was believing that she was totally healed.
Amen.
So I just want to say, God hears our prayers. You know, he's 7 years old, you know, and he's just a typical and probably more than typical 7-year-old. But, you know, he doesn't expect you to have a degree. He doesn't expect you to have great knowledge. He just expects you to know him and believe his word.
That's right.
Amen.
I'm telling you, Cody has more faith than Mama does.
Sometimes he does.
Praise the Lord. I appreciate that. That is a great testimony that Irene has. I don't mind telling you that we serve an awesome God, and he is raising up an army of little young men and women. Now then, when you see a little boy like Cody, it's so amazing, you know, that when Mama's been to several healing schools, and her husband Chuck have been here too many times. But Cody has been to several of them, too. And I think how simple it is when Cody says, well, Mama, what do you make the doctor's appointment for? Well, son, don't you see this thing on my leg, my side? Well, he said, Mama, don't you know that's just a demon? I'm going to cast it out. See, that's where sickness and disease comes from. See, this is something that it took me a long time to understand. When I first started praying for people, I mean, when the Lord first put me into this realm, I started praying for people, and as I prayed for people, the Lord healed them, and he was really building my faith. And then I ran into a few people that nothing happened. And I went back to the Lord, and I said, Lord, I don't understand. These people I prayed for got healed. Now then, all of a sudden, they're not being healed anymore. What is wrong? The Lord began to reveal to me that the problem was demons. And I needed to cast out the demon. I mean, I've been raised up in a Baptist church, and we don't talk about demons. And so, of course, a lot of churches don't talk about demons. So I said, Lord, I'm going to have some revelation on these demons. I mean, I said, demons, Lord, I don't really know what a demon is. I said, I read in Matthew, Mark, Luke about demons, but I don't know how they operate. I don't understand them. So I said, Lord, some way you need to give me revelation. Well, when you ask, be ready. Be ready. I mean, because I had no clue what was going to happen. But it wasn't long after that that my wife and I were taking our 2 little children. They were real little. We were going down to see my mother and dad. And I met my wife at a certain little town down here. I'd been out somewhere else. And when I met her there, we stopped at a little Baptist church in a little town only a few miles from where Mother and Dad lived, but come church time that morning, so we just stopped. Went to church at a little Baptist church. While we're sitting in that little church, probably a congregation no larger than this, I was sitting there in that little church listening to that Baptist preacher preach, and all of a sudden the Lord spoke to me just as clear. I heard this audible voice. He said, "Son, right after church today, I want you to go see John Doe." I won't use the man's name, but he called the man's full name. And I said, "Lord, I mean, I'm not talking out loud, but I'm talking in my spirit." I said, "Lord, that man's he's a bachelor. He's an old man. He's a drunk. I mean, Lord, on Sunday morning, this guy won't be at home." Isn't it amazing how we tell God, we're smarter than he is, right? I mean, we're so smart. And so about 5 minutes later, the Lord said, "Now, son, right after church, I want you to go by and see John Doe." I said, "Lord, don't you know it's, about 15 minutes till 12 and on Sunday, and he ain't going to be at home today?" Well, about 5 minutes later, the third time, he said, "Now, son, right after church, I want you to go by and see John Doe." I said, "Okay, Lord, I'll go." So church was over. I told him, I said, "Honey, you take your car and you take the kids. You go on down to Mom and Dad's house. I've got to do something first." I didn't tell her I heard God's voice three times. I just said, "There's something I got to do. I've got to go by and visit a person before I can come down to Mom and Dad." So she said, "Okay." I had a very wonderful woman. She knew I was a man that served God, and if God laid something on my heart, I had to do it. And so she never questioned me. I just told her I had to go by and see somebody, and she said, "Okay." So she took the kids, went on down to Mom and Dad's house, and I drove over to this man's house, and I had prayed for this man's salvation. And I had known him before, because this little town wasn't too many miles from where we lived, and I happened to have run across him before, and I knew he was a man that needed to know Jesus. And so I'd prayed for him. I didn't realize God was going to use me as a laborer to go get him. But through my prayers, I went over to that house that day and knocked on that door. And when I did, all the way over there, I'm saying, "Lord, it's Sunday afternoon. He's a single old man, a bachelor. He ain't going to be at home." But I mean, you don't have faith. Sometimes I wonder if I still have any faith. But I walked up and knocked on the door. When I did, the door opened, and there he stood. He said, "Oh, Thurman, what are you doing here on Sunday afternoon?" I said, "Well, I've been to church up here, and I was here in town, and I just thought before I went on down to Mom and Dad's house, I'd just stop by and talk to you about Jesus." And that man looked at me through the screen of his little house, and he said, "Thurman, there's not a man in this county that I'd let in this house talk to me about Jesus. Not a preacher in this town. I know them all." He said, "I've known you since you were a young man, and you were the only young man I ever seen in my life that didn't run around and raise hell and drink and cuss and smoke and do everything everybody else did." He said, "You're the only man in this county I'd listen to about Jesus." He said, "Come in." I thought, "God, you know exactly what you're doing." I went in and sat down with that man. I went in his little tiny, had a little bitty tiny frame house. I went down in his front room and I went sat down in a chair over there, and that chair is facing that way, and he was sitting in a chair facing this way. So here we are like this. And I thought, "Lord, what am I supposed to do?" So I opened my Bible, or laid my Bible in my lap, and it fell open to John chapter 1. I thought, "Lord, that'd be a good place to start." So I just started reading. In the beginning was the Word. And I read one chapter of the book of John, a whole chapter, and then I happened to look up. And when I looked up, I saw my first demon manifest in a human being. Now, I'm telling you, it scared me, because this man, which a few minutes before had been a normal human being, all of a sudden his face is all drawn, his eyes are twice the size, they're green. He's glaring at me, his teeth is clenched, and his mouth's all dry. I couldn't even begin to contort my face like his face was contorted. When I looked up at him and I saw that, I'm going to tell you, it scared me. I had no idea what I was fighting against. I took a deep breath and went back to the Word. I said, "Lord, let me read some more of the Bible." I was scared. I'm going to tell you, I didn't know what I was doing. The Lord's taking me through a training program now. I read one more chapter. And then I glanced up and looked up at him, and he was still pretty bad. Maybe not quite so bad, but I went back and read chapter 3, and I looked up, and he wasn't quite so bad. And I read chapter 4, and when I got through with chapter 4, I looked up, and he is normal again. And I didn't know what was going on. So I stopped at chapter 4, and I said, "I've read to you about Jesus and who he was, and and what it takes to become a born-again Christian, I said, would you like to make Jesus Lord of your life? He said, you give me something to think about. He said, ma'am, not right now, but he said, I'll think about it. He said, I've never heard that. But he said, that's interesting. And so I said, well, okay, I just come over here to do what the Lord sent me to do. So I said, have a good day, and I'll see you later. And I walked out the door. And 3 months later, that man on a Sunday morning, about 8 or 9 o'clock, was sitting in a chair in a service station right down the street from where he lived before he goes to check his livestock, and had a massive heart attack. It exploded in his chest and he fell dead in the floor. I heard about it, and so I went down there to his funeral. When I got there, there was a woman there that I had known for years. She said, Thurman, this man came by the other day. Now, her husband was a deacon in the Baptist church, and he was his best friend, and that man never talked to him about Jesus. Never. She said, so-and-so came over here at the house the other day and said, you came by on a Sunday afternoon a few months ago and said you told him about Jesus. And I said, well, what'd you think? He said, don't be surprised when you get there if you don't find me there. You know what that told me? He had made that decision. He had accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. At a later date, the daughter of that man came to me and told me she had a dream in the middle of the night, and this happened about a year after he died. And she said she saw her daddy in a dream on Father's Day, and she had always asked the Lord, Lord, did my daddy get saved? And she said, my daddy came to me in a dream, and he was dressed just like he always dressed in his farmer's clothes. And there he was smiling, and he said, honey, it's wonderful up here. Jesus is awesome. Oh, so she called me and said, praise God, my daddy got saved. And then I told her the whole story. She said, thank God, Thurman, that you went by there that day. Well, let me tell you. I've come to realize that's what the whole thing is about, number one, is you and me being obedient to God, walking in obedience to His Word, and going and sharing the gospel of Christ with people to get people saved. That's what it's all about, isn't it, JC? That's what it's all about. But now then, when you get saved, that's the beginning. So many churches, they preach when you get saved, that's all there is. But nope, that's not all there is. I'm going to tell you, I lived in that realm for 40 years of my life. And then the Lord began to come to me and speak to me in an audible voice and show me the things I've been teaching in this church and in other places for the last several years. And I've been teaching a healing school in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex for about 5 years. And I have seen testimonies like this one that Irene has with Cody. I have seen these kind of testimonies now into the thousands. I mean, I don't understand why everybody's not healed. And I'll tell you why. I now know why it is. We don't know what this book says. And the example I gave you a while ago is three men that have worked diligently, you know, that know a lot about audio and video equipment, tried to explain to me the way a mixer board worked. And I started listening to them. And then when I couldn't make the thing work like they all told me it's supposed to work, then I decided to read the book. And one of the things that really blew me away, one of the men came back there that works here. One of the two men came back and he said, now, Thurman, that set of controls right there is before the fader. And I had just read, I said, wait a minute, let me read you this. It says on the AUX 2 switches, the switches are downstream of the fader. He said, no, that's not right. I said, look, wait a minute, that's what the book said. No, he said, that's not the way they work. I said, look. That is not true, at least on this board. On the ones you may have operated, that's the way they are. But on this one, he said, no, they don't work like that. I said, okay, the proof is in the test. So I put it on a computer, I put a signal on it, and I checked it, and I guarantee the fader varied the signal. So I said, the book is right. So let me tell you, folks, when somebody preaches the Word of God to you, if they don't use the Word of God and what they say don't agree with what the Word of God says, you need to find you another teacher. Amen. Because If you will do what so many people do, just like the other day, I know we're all talking about the Lord soon coming. And He is going to come. There's no two ways about it. He's going to come soon. But two men, and these men happen to be another denomination, and they were talking about we were living in the millennial kingdom of God right now. And I said, no, wait a minute, guys. The way I read the book says that during the millennial kingdom, there will be no Satan. There will be no evil during that thousand-year reign of Christ. And I said, so let me turn to Revelation and read that to you. And so I turned over to the book of Revelation, and I read that to them. I happened to be where these two guys were that day. And he said, well, but Thurman, that can't be true. I said, but, you know, this is what the Word says. He said, well, that's not what my preacher says. I said, well, I don't know what your preacher says, and I don't care what kind of denomination you're in or non-denomination you're in, but if what your preacher said don't line up with what the Word says, then you need to go home and read it yourself. One of the men said, nah, I'm going to believe what my preacher said. The other said, I'm going to go home and read those. I said, okay. One of them wouldn't read the book. But a few days later, I run into the other one, and he said, I went home that night, and I began to read those words. I read that chapter at least three or four times. I said, what did you think? He said, the more I read it, the more it sounded like it was the way you said it was. But he said, it can't be true because that's not what my preacher said. So he said, I just closed the book and said, I'm going to believe him instead of you. Now, you want to know why we have problem with healing? You want to know why we have problem with salvation? Because we read the words of Jesus and then we'll believe what a man said instead of what Jesus said. So I'm going to tell you, if anything I teach you today don't line up with the Word of God, you need to throw it out the window. I'm just going to be frank with you. That's why I am a Word person, and that's why I teach God's Word. I'm going to talk a little bit about in Him we are blessed or we are redeemed. Now, I didn't understand to start off with what it meant to fight the good fight of faith. I now have learned what it means to fight the good fight of faith. I have fought it several times. So when you learn what it means, and if you can do it, now the flesh is weak. You'll have to walk in the Spirit. Because every time the enemy attacks you in the flesh, when it's your flesh, it's difficult to walk in the flesh. I mean, you can't walk in the flesh. If you do, you get beat up on by the devil every time. The devil will win every time if you go by what you see. But that's what we are. I'm going to tell you a story to start off about a man and his wife, and they happened to be Church of Christ, and they came from a city here. They heard me on the radio, and they came here about a year ago last April, I guess it was. Yeah, I think it was April. They came to a healing school. And there was about eight of those people from the Church of Christ in that city that came up. And they called me and wanted to know if they was welcome. I told them, of course. You know, I mean, I'll let anybody come to a healing school. I don't care if you're a believer, a non-believer, a Church of Christ, Baptist, Methodist, Catholic. I don't care what you are. If you're a human being, and if you're warm, and if not warm, come on, we'll raise you from the dead. You know, so, I mean, you know, goodness gracious, Jesus told us we could do all these things. I'm just getting where I can believe Him, aren't you, D? Praise the King. So anyway, they came and she said, I have a, after the healing school was over, 4 hours approximate teaching at the healing school, she came up and her husband, and she said, we want to just sit and talk with you a while. And so I said, okay. So that group from the Church of Christ in that city stayed and talked to me 4 more hours till after 8 or 9 o'clock that night. And so whenever we got through, she said, God came to me in a dream. He told me I had this very, very rare disease. And she told me what the disease was. Of course, I can't remember. It's a strange name. And so she said, I woke up the next morning and told my husband, honey, God told me in a dream last night I have this disease. So she said, if God told me that, I must have it. So I want you to run a test on me to see if I have it. He ran the test on her and she had it. And so they started treating her for the disease. And so she said, I want you to pray for me so that I'll be healed. I said, well, first of all, you got to repent for believing a lie. She said, what do you mean? I said, well, I'll tell you, that wasn't God came to you. She said, but it was a beautiful voice. I said, I don't care what it sounded like. I said, if Jesus Christ bore your sickness and removed your disease on the cross 2,000 years ago, He didn't put sickness on you, and He's not going to come to you in a dream and tell you you have a sickness. I said, that was the devil. I said, you were not sick. The enemy deceives us all, and he's so sly, and I'm just beginning to learn and understand the many ways of the devil. I said, the devil come to you in a dream, and he told you you had this disease, and you bought it, hook, line, and sinker, and when you agreed with it, that allowed him to put it on you, And you have this sickness because you believe the devil instead of God's word. Wow, that blew her away, and her husband both. I said, are you willing to repent? She said, yes. I said, okay, repent. Tell God you're sorry that you let the devil deceive you. She repented. I rebuked the devil just like I did for Cody that day. I rebuked the devil, commanded her to be healed in the name of Jesus according to the word of God. I said, now go back home and check your wife again, and I guarantee you ain't going to have no illness. And she went home and they checked it, and it's gone. Isn't that amazing? The devil comes to you to put sickness and disease upon you, and he puts symptoms upon you, and you buy into his symptoms. Most of my life would believe my symptoms. I wake up in the morning, I got a splitting headache, can't breathe, throat scratchy. What's the first thing you think I do? Honey, I've got a sore throat this morning. I mean, I must be coming down with a flu. Is that what we say? No, that's what we do. But no, don't do that. Because if you agree with the enemy, yeah, the symptoms are there. But don't agree with the beast. If you know that Jesus Christ, that when you get it in your spirit, that if you learn that Jesus Christ healed you on the cross 2,000 years ago, he bore your sickness, he bore your pain, he removed everything and gave you complete power and authority over the enemy. When that becomes a reality to you, you will never receive sickness and disease again. Never. You'll rebuke it and you'll drive it away in the name of Jesus. And you won't never have to be sick again. Now, I only learned these principles about 20 years ago. Now, the first 45 years of my life, I had a lot of sickness down in my back a half a dozen times, had all kinds of problems. But when I learned these truths, praise God, I'm now 65 years old and I ain't had a sick day in 20 years. Not one sick day. And guess what? I ain't going to have no more. When I learned that my Jesus bore my sickness and removed my disease, when that devil tries to come up on me with sickness and disease, I don't care what the symptoms are, I grab him by the nape of the neck and I throw him out with the word of God. And you don't let him do it to you no more, do you, Jan? It's like her husband, Richard, when he got revelation on that magnificent promise that the violent take it by force. I mean, when that day I taught that and Richard was sitting right here on the front row beside her, I mean, that guy jumped up and screamed and hollered, and you could have heard him down the block, two blocks away. Oh, my goodness, he got revelation on a verse that he had read many times. And when he got that, I'm telling you, he said after that, he said, one day I was up there in the house and said, the flu's come up on me. And I said, I prayed over it, nothing happened, it didn't go away. And I said, Lord, why is it nobody ever gets healed from little simple things like the flu or a cold? And he said, the Lord spoke to me and said, this is one of those kind that the violent takes by force. So he said, I went down to the bathroom at the far end of the house and closed the door. And he said, I got violent with that beast. And he said, 5 minutes later, when I come out, I had no symptoms. They were all gone. Isn't that amazing? You don't have to buy into sickness and disease. When you learn that sickness and disease comes from the devil, and you've got all power over it, it would be just like a 100-pound, muddy, filthy hog that walked up and stepped up into your back door to step into your house. I guess you'd just say, come on in, Miss Pig. Just walk all over my kitchen and just drop that mud all over the place. Just lean on the kitchen table there. Rub a little of that off on the kitchen. I ain't got nothing to do but to clean it up anyway. No, you wouldn't do that, would you? You looked over in that beast and put her head in that door. I mean, and you thought she's going to step into your kitchen, you'd be grabbing that mop or that broom and you'd be screaming in the process. I mean, you'd be taking it by force and you'd be headed to that door and you'd say, you nasty beast, out of here, out of here, out of here. And that pig would run as far as he could. And that's what you'd do, wouldn't you? Now, when you learn that sickness and disease, just like little Cody did, Mom, why don't you make that appointment with the doctor? Well, son, Mama's got this big old ball. Don't you see it? I prayed over it. Yeah, I know, but don't you remember Brother Thurman said them's demons? And I'm going to cast that demon out of you, Mama. Ain't nothing a little boy likes to do better than to kick the devil out of his mama. You know? I mean, see, we just don't realize what the problem is. I've kicked demons out of lots of people in my life. Lots of people. Now, the thing about it is, anytime you pray for something and you don't get your answer, you got a demon. You need to kick it out. And you've got to kick it out by faith, and you've got to do it bold as a lion. You've got to realize who the enemy is. It is demons. I have so many stories that I could tell about people that had prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed for people, their children, themselves, or whatever, and they could never get healed. And they bring the baby to me, and I make sure the parents' sins are all confessed. And I'm talking about from little bitty tiny babies that can't sleep, can't eat, like Cody, all kinds of problems. I told Cody when he come up that day, I said, Cody, you got a demon. A demon's living in your stomach. I said, I don't know how you got him, but I said, somehow he came into you. And she said that he's an adopted baby. So who knows what kind of legal right the devil had to that baby. But I've seen, there's a couple up here in Ponder that had a, they're a lovely Baptist couple, and far as I know, they're walking holy before God. But when that baby of theirs was 9 months old, that baby had virtually not slept since he was born. That baby screamed, hollered, cried. They even tried, that woman could not find a babysitter to keep that baby, so she tried my wife. My wife told her, she said, honey, I've kept babies of all kinds. I've never seen a baby I can't keep. So just, I'll keep him for you a few weeks till you find a setter. She said, I don't want to keep him permanently. But after 3 weeks, my wife told me, honey, I met my match. I said, I can't keep this boy. He's 9 months old. I said, what's wrong? She said, he's crying, screaming. Said, it doesn't, from the time Mama brings him in the morning, he won't sleep in the morning. He cries, screams. He cries and screams when I try to feed him. If I rock him, play with him, whatever I do, he cries and screams. She said, he may go to sleep. He may wear himself completely out in the afternoon. He may sleep 10 or 15 minutes, and he's awake crying and screaming. She said, I can't keep this boy. I said, honey, that's not normal. That's not normal. So I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, what is wrong with this little boy? I said, thank you, Lord, for the answer. Immediately the Lord spoke to me and said, tormenting spirit. I heard him just as clear. Tormenting spirit. That's all he said. I said, okay, honey, I know what's wrong with the little guy. I said, in the morning, when Mama brings him, I'll get him set free. So she brought him in crying, set him down there in a high chair, and I waited till Mama left. When Mama left, I sat down there in front of him. I actually knelt down on my knees in front of him at that high chair. I reached up and grabbed that little guy by the shoulders. I shook him and looked him right in the eye. When I shook him, he turned and looked at me. I said, you demon of hell, you tormenting spirit, in the name of Jesus, I command you to come out of here and go to the pit of hell and never return. I said, thank you, Lord, for giving me power over the demons. I said, he's out of here. I stood up and looked at her. I said, honey, I guarantee you and this boy will have a blessed day today. See, you do it everything by faith. No doubt in your heart. You don't stand up and say, well, I don't know for sure what God's going to do there. You believe God's promises. You stand on them with no wavering. I went to work that day, and I come back home that afternoon, Friday afternoon, about 7 o'clock. My wife, when I walked in the door, she said, honey, you're not going to believe the day me and this little boy had today. I said, why is it you think I'm not going to believe it? I said, I know you had a wonderful day with that little boy. She said, honey, he didn't cry. He might. Said, this morning he slept an hour. Said he had a beautiful lunch. Said he slept an hour and a half this afternoon. Said he might have snubbed a little, maybe 10 minutes all day long. Other than that, he was a perfectly normal little boy. I said, well, I told you he's going to be good because I cast that devil out of him. The Lord told me he had a tormenting spirit. But Monday morning when Mama brought him back, when she walked in the house, she walked up to my wife and said, Betty, what did you do to my son? Well, she said, what do you mean? She said, did you give him some medicine? She said, well, no, I would have never given him no medicine without your approval. Why? She said, he's a different boy. Said he hasn't cried all weekend long, the first time in 9 months. Said he's a normal boy. She said, what did you do? You had to do something. And she said, well, my husband and I prayed for him. She said, well, whatever you did, it worked. Well, she went on to work, and after she walked out of the house, I walked up and I said, honey, I heard all this. So I said, honey, why didn't you tell that lady I cast a demon out of her son? She said, honey, you live in another world. But she said, I don't even understand you. But she said, I can assure you, if I'd have told that woman what I saw you do Friday morning, that woman would have thought me and you both was crazy. I said, but she saw the results. And of course, today, that woman and her husband know the truth. In fact, the other day, my transmission on my pickup had broken, had sprung an oil leak, and I was over at the post office in Argonne. I was going home, and I was still like 4 miles getting to the house when enough fluid leaked out it wouldn't pull. So I thought, well, it's only 4 miles to the house. I'll just run that 4 miles. You know, so I jumped out of my truck and I ran almost a mile, and I got to thinking, I thought, Lord, there's a lot of things I could do today better than run 4 miles. So I said, you know, I can do it. And I'm in pretty good shape. But I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, you told me to ask anything. Would you send me somebody by to pick me up? I need a ride because I have other things I need to do besides run 4 miles today. So a van, I run maybe 100 more yards, and a van come by, passed me, turned around, and come back and pulled up beside me. And it was this mother, and she had those two boys in the car. She said, Mr. Scrivener, are you out for a run, or are you having trouble? And I said, well, honey, I'm having a little trouble. She said, well, I didn't really think you were out running this far from the house. She said, so can I take you home? I said, yes, honey, I'd love it. So we got in, and I looked at her boys. I said, oh, you had another baby. She said, yes, yes. She said, I want you to know that your faith walk has totally changed my husband and my life forever. She said, my baby has been perfectly normal ever since you cast a demon out of him. She said, my husband was at one of your teachings one night when you told this, and I didn't know he was there, and I told the little boy's name, and Daddy came up afterwards. He said, I knew you'd done something besides pray for my baby. Let me tell you, folks, when the church gets a hold of who she is and what she can do in the name of Jesus, the devil's in trouble. The church right now is living in the world. The church is living in sin. The church, you can't tell the difference between the church and the world. There's too many people in the church that's living together out of wedlock. Too many people in the church that'll lie to you in a business deal just like the guy down the street that don't even know Jesus. I mean, the thing about it is, we've got to become that holy, morally, and ethically pure bride that the King told us to be. And when we become that, then He's going to share His power with us. And when we go and speak in His name, we're going to see great and mighty things, even mightier things than the things I've had the privilege to see here. And this little bitty tiny group of people in the last 2 years, I couldn't even begin to name the testimonies that I have heard in this little group of people out of this healing school or on a Sunday service. But we've heard a lot of them, haven't we, Gloria? In fact, she's had a lot of them herself. JC's had we've all, there's not virtually nobody here that's been here very long that hasn't seen God do something spectacular. Because you learn from God's Word how to make it work. So now then today, I want you to know that in Christ we are super blessed. We just don't know that, because I didn't know that, because Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, I read this verse, and as I read this verse so many times, this verse never meant anything to me. But I'm going to tell you, you've got to read the Word of God like I read that manual back there the other yesterday on how to make that board work. You read a line, and you read that line, and then you read the words in that line. And then you try to figure out what the man that wrote that book was thinking when he wrote those. What does each word in that line mean? You don't just read it like a novel. You read it like this in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. And I can see Paul standing on the hills out there with his hands raised when he quotes this. This is not something simple. This is an awesome statement. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Yes. How many of the blessings are yours? All. How many of the gifts are yours when you become a Christian? All. So what is it we don't understand about all? Maybe we don't know what they are. That must be true. I didn't. But I learned what those gifts were. Now, those gifts, there is 9 of those gifts laid out in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting with verse 8. There is 9 of the gifts laid out there of what is yours, and all of them are yours, and you don't have to pray for them. Nothing. They belong to you as a born-again Christian. And there's enough power in those 9 gifts right there to get anything done you ever want to do in your life. All you got to do is believe God. But most people don't believe God. Now then, this is one of those in Christ scriptures. He did not say He would bless us. He said He has already given us everything we'll ever need to live a victorious life. It's already yours. And to think that when Christ went away, I had no knowledge from the time I was 11 when I made Jesus my Lord and Savior until I was about 40 or 45 years old. I had absolutely no knowledge of what was mine as a son of God. I virtually never saw a prayer answered. I mean, I didn't even know demons were real. I didn't know I could cast out demons. Somebody somewhere in the church has really messed up big time. Because if I can take a little tiny boy like Cody, and I can teach him the things I've taught him and see him already casting out demons, praying for his mother and for other people, and seeing God do these mighty things, if they'd have taught me and you that when we was that age, JC, there is no telling what we'd be doing today, right? Amen. But now then, we can't look back at what past happened in the past. We can only go forward from today. We're going to occupy till Jesus comes. Now then, all we have to do is believe and receive these things by faith for them to work for us. Now then, I will say, before you can believe and receive them, you must repent of your sins. Because your sins, let me present it to you like this. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's in you. Now, if Christ is in you, who's the healer? Jesus Christ. Where is He? In us. So if the healer's in us, then why are so many of us sick? Because in our spirit, where Christ is living, there is so much junk, sin, in our pipes, if you want to call them, between our physical flesh and our spiritual man, that the healing power of Jesus cannot get through. I think about a pipe one day, whenever I first bought my first home out in Highland Village, they had septic systems and not sewer lines, but had a sewer system. They had septic tanks and everything out there, and they had put in clay pipes. Now, we all know today in the plumbing field, you don't never want to put a clay pipe in with a septic system because the joints don't seal. And so the joints don't seal, and as they do, water leaks out, and of course the grass grows in, and first thing you know, the little fibers of grass begins to grow in there, and then the trash coming down, the grease and whatever starts hanging on that, and first thing you know, that pipe will grow completely up on the inside. And you got to call somebody with a Roto-Rooter, and you got to come out and run it through it and clean it out, and then you're okay for another year or two or three, then you got to do it again. It's a never-ending chore. Why could that water from the sink not get out to the septic tank? The line's plugged up. Why can the healing power of Jesus that's in you not get from where it needs to be inside to the physical flesh to heal you? Because it's plugged up with the debris of sin. Every time you confess sin to God, you take away and clean out the debris. Why is it some people cannot hear the voice of God? Because they're so stopped up with the debris of sin. God's talking to them, but they can't get it. They'll never hear it. So when you become a holy instrument with all of your sins confessed, every time you realize you have unforgiveness, in fact, I don't see the lady, but they may be here today. I may just be missing you. But if you are here, you'll know this story. Standing right here the other day on a Sunday night, there was a couple come up here, and she said, "I'm having heart pains. I feel like I'm having a heart attack." I said, "Are all your sins confessed?" And she said, "I think so." I said, "Ma'am, you can't think so. You got to know so." Now, here's the thing. When you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, how many of your sins were washed away by the blood of Jesus? All. So you didn't need 1 John 1:9. I don't care what you had done, how wicked you had been. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, all of your sins were remitted. Now then that you become God's child, you go out tomorrow and you lie to somebody, you just sinned. Now you need 1 John 1:9. Because those sins are not going to be remitted. Your sins were remitted before you got saved. When you got saved, I mean the sins you committed before that, were remitted. Now then, you sin after that, you got to have 1 John 1:9 because they're not covered under the blood automatically. You got to confess the sin. If you don't confess the sin, you're plugging up your pipes. So you sin, and you sin, and you sin, and you sin, and you're plugging up your pipes, and you're plugging up your pipes. And if you don't start confessing those sins and start walking holy before God, as you get enough of that crud between you and the Spirit of God that's living in your spirit, guess what that begins to do to your physical flesh? Sin brings forth death. The death process starts, so you die far prematurely. But now then, as a born-again Christian, if we sin, which we should not, now we should be taught from day one, when you become a born-again Christian, your preacher should say, you are now washed in the blood, you're clean, you're white as snow, just as if you'd never sinned. So your goal now is to stop lying, cheating, committing adultery, all those other things you might have done. You are to walk holy and obedience to God's Word. But most of us don't tell them people that, do we? It's unfortunate. We think we can go and do whatever we want to do. No, you can't. Because as this woman, as I asked her, if she had all of her sins confessed, she said, I think so. I said, ma'am, it don't work to think so. You got to know so. Well, she turned to me and said, okay, I have them all confessed. I said, okay. Now, who knows the truth? She does, God does, and the devil does. Now, I don't know because I haven't had a word from the Lord yet on her, but God knows. I turned to her husband and I said, how about you? He said, oh, yeah. I've been coming to this church a while. I know my sins are all confessed. I knew that was going to be the first question you asked me. I said, okay. So you know yours are all confessed. He said, absolutely. He said, I've taken care of my sins. I said, okay, good. So I reached up to pray for the lady. She's standing right in front of me, and I still want to reach up to touch her on the shoulders, to lay my hands on her to pray for her, because Jesus said, lay hands on the sick, command the sickness to go away, and they'll get healed. I reached up to touch her. The instant I touched her, it's like you'd shock me with an electric shock, and both of my hands just knocked back off of me just like that. Just I jumped like I'd been shocked, and the Lord says, unforgiveness. He gave me a word of knowledge, one of the nine gifts of the Spirit. He said, unforgiveness. I said, whoa. Wendell was standing right beside me. He said, whoa, something happened, didn't it? I said, yes, it did. I said, ma'am, you got unforgiveness towards somebody, don't you? And immediately she broke into tears. She knew exactly who it was. I said, who was it? She said, my husband. I said, okay, I don't want to know what the problem is, but you must forgive him or you can't be healed. She said, I just don't think I can forgive him. I said, ma'am, let me make it real easy for you. She said, what do you mean? I said, do you know that if you die in the sin of unforgiveness, the Lord says in Mark 11, 25 and 26, if you do not forgive your brothers from your heart, neither will I forgive you. And I said, if Jesus does not forgive you for your sin, do you know if you died in that sin, you will not be able to go to heaven? She said, what? I said, that's true. And I said, besides that, in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 through 35, he says, if you will not forgive your brothers from your heart and your husband, he'll turn you over to the tormenting spirits to be tormented day and night. And you'll not get out until you pay him every penny you owe him. And I said, you'll never live long enough to pay him all of that debt. I said, now then, do you want to live in torment? Or do you want to forgive your husband? Or if you die, do you want to go to hell? Is whatever he done worth living in hell forever? She said, no. I said, okay, good. Forgive him. She said, I'm not sure I even know how to pray a prayer like that. Well, I said, I'll lead you. So I did. When we got through praying the prayer, I said, now then, ma'am, did you mean every word you said that you quoted after me? She said, yes, I did. And when she said that, I got another word of knowledge. The Lord says, tell her, her pain is gone. She's healed. I said, ma'am, I don't even have to pray for you. The Lord just told me that you're healed. She took a couple of deep breaths and just fell into tears and fell on my chest and fell on her husband's chest and everything else. And just, she said, I am healed. Isn't God awesome? Does he want you to be healed?
Yes.
Yes, he does. But does he want you to sin?
No,
he does not. Now then, a good God would never put a plan like this in operation, would he? Yes, he will. And he did, didn't he? And he's no respecter of persons, so it don't make any difference with you or me or D or whoever it is. If you sin, you open the door to the demonic world. How many of you would like to have a demon come torment you the rest of your life? Ain't no takers on that, is there? No, I ain't guarantee you. I don't want one of them beasts. The only way you can stay free from them devils is to not sin. That ought to make it a whole lot more easy for you to do your best to walk without sin. When you learn that if you sin, and I don't care how little a sin is, you're going to open the door to a devil to come into your flesh to torment you, and you ain't going to like the results. Proverbs 26:2 says, no curse comes upon you undeserved. Does it pay good dividends to repent? Sure does. I've seen people healed over and over and over. So, if you've got a sickness and got a disease, you need to make sure you have gone through your past life from the day you got saved and make sure you confess everything you've done as sin. Then you need to go back and confess everything your mom and daddy's done as sin. Then you need to go back and forgive them for everything they've done wrong. Because let me tell you this now, and I've caught a lot of flack for this teaching, but I've had the Holy Spirit tell me this from several people's lives, men and women, that the women or the men in either case was sick or down with their stroke or down with a problem because their father or their grandfather was a Mason, a member of the Masonic Lodge. If you've got a grandparent, the woman was a member of the Eastern Star, or the daddy or the grandfather or great-grandfather was a member of the Masonic Lodge, you need to repent for that sin and you need to ask God to forgive you. And if you're not sick, and that happens to be the case, you need to do that anyway. And then you need to break the curse that would be passed from them to you so you don't get sick. Because the Masonic Lodge teaches a lie. They teach another way of salvation. And a lot of Christian men are in it. And they've been deceived. And I'm not telling you something I don't know. I have studied this organization, and I'm going to tell you I know more about the Masonic Lodge than most Masons. I have studied it in detail. But still, there's far more than I know that goes on in the world of the Masonic Lodge. Got a question, ma'am? Just a minute. Let me bring you a mic so it'll be on the tape. Plus, they can hear it. Got a question right here. Of course,
I'm. How can I be held responsible for what my grandfather did?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How?
Well, it's real simple. I'll tell you. The question was asked, how can I be responsible for what my grandfather did? God made the rules, and I didn't make them. But God said in His Word, He said the sins of the fathers will be passed to the children, to the third and the fourth generation. With exception of one case, and that is if you're born out of wedlock. If you're born out of wedlock, your sin will be passed through your family for 10 generations. If you are born out of wedlock, or you have somebody in your past that's born out of wedlock, those sins, that sin, is going to drag along with you for 10 generations in the future to you and your children. And you never know who the devil's going to hit. So when you learn this, the first thing to do is there is a magnificent promise in God's Word that if you have a mother or a father, or you have brought children in as illegitimate children. And this happens in the church today. There is thousands of people. I have ministered to hundreds and hundreds of people that were born illegitimately. But there is, praise God, there is an answer in Jesus. He didn't leave us without an answer. Praise God, I'm so glad. Because the Lord says, let's say that I had been born out of wedlock. Let's say I had. Of course, I was not. But let's say I was. If say I was born out of wedlock, then that means that me, I would be under the curse, and all of my children, and all of my grandchildren and great-grandchildren, 10 generations into the future, would be under the curse of God. It says, I forget now, Wendell, where is that statement? Deuteronomy 23, verse 2. Deuteronomy 23:2 is one place. It's in there more than one time. Wendell's got the Bible almost memorized. That boy, I mean, it's amazing, but Deuteronomy 23:2, that's one of the places, but it's in there more than that, more than one time. But the thing about it is, the sin, under the Old Covenant, let's go back to the Old Covenant that was made to Abraham, the first covenant, the Abrahamic covenant that was made to Abraham. God promised Abraham all these blessings, and all he had to do was walk holy before God. That was his only requirement, is to walk holy before God. Well, they didn't do it. They sinned. And when they sinned, the curses begin to come upon them. Well, the curses continued to come upon people. And, of course, back in those days, the only thing people could do when the curses came upon them was wait till the Day of Atonement, and the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies one day a year and then put blood on the mercy seat to cover the sins of the people. But praise God for Jesus. When Jesus comes, the blood of Jesus removes our sins. Now then, if you're under a curse, if you're under a curse from God because of your sin or your parents' sin, then you can come and by faith break that curse. Let's say, for instance, that I had was born out of wedlock, and now then that I, let's say that I had reached 40 years of age and already had two children, and I realize now that I'm under a curse and this is passed to my children. I can break this curse by going to Galatians chapter 3, verses 13, 14, and 15. Now, Galatians 3, 13, 14, and 15 makes you this promise. Christ has redeemed us from the curse by becoming a curse for us. Because anyone hung on a tree is cursed. So Jesus was hung on the cross, and he was cursed. It says, so that the blessings of Abraham, this goes back to the Abrahamic covenant, all the way back to Genesis, so that the blessings of Abraham might come onto the Gentiles, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit by faith. How do we do it? By faith. What is by faith? Let me ask you this question. If you're like I was, for years and years and years, I had no knowledge and no idea of what the Abrahamic covenant contained. Now, if I didn't know that the Abrahamic covenant had all these promises in it, how in the world am I going to receive something by faith that I don't know? I'm going to tell you, it's going to be just as difficult as yesterday morning when I went back and sat down with that 14-position board that I'd never worked on in my life. It's got about 100 different knobs on it, and I'm starting to turn knobs and push buttons, and I don't have a clue what's going to happen when I turn one or push one. You know how much chance I'm going to have to make that thing work and do what it's supposed to work? Zero, right, young lady? But when I got the book out, and after an hour or two of reading the book and praying, Lord, I got to have knowledge and understanding as I read this book. Give me understanding and wisdom. And an hour or two later, I mean, I got this thing down. And when me and Dave walked away from there last night, he said, this piece of cake, I got it. Well, that's what I love to hear him say. I got it. He said, I can handle it. Now then, how are you going to receive by faith the Abrahamic covenant if you don't know what the Abrahamic covenant contains? Well, if you're like I was most of my life, I didn't even know I had a covenant. I much less know what it said. So when I learned what the Abrahamic covenant was and the promises and the blessings that was in that covenant, that salvation was mine. Healing was mine. Blessings of prosperity are mine. I only have to do one thing to make it all work. Walk obedient to God. Walk holy before Him with no sin in my life. You know, I've been taught all my life it's impossible. Just sin. When you get home every night, just confess all your sins and you'll be okay. No, 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 no. That's not what the Word says. You don't go out and live in the world and come home every night and confess your sins. You don't go out and live like the world all week long and come in on Saturday night and go before the priest and ask him to confess all your sins and give him $5 and say, it's done, I'm over. Sunday morning, start over again. No, 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 no. Because if you do, I guarantee you're not reading the same book I'm reading. But those people, and poor people, there's many of those people that are not reading the book at all, that are listening to what a preacher, a priest, a bishop, or somebody is telling them, and what they're telling them does no ways line up with what's written in this book. That's what happened when Martin Luther started reading the book as a Catholic. And he found out that the book said a whole lot different than what they were teaching. And so he went to Rome and talked to the Pope, and because they pulled him over there because he's preaching salvation is a free gift. And man, they brought him over there and they said, you're going to have to stop teaching this. In fact, how many of you saw the movie Martin Luther? Some of y'all saw that. I mean, they were up. What were those people over there in Rome upset about? There was no money coming in. That's what they was upset about. Martin Luther was preaching grace. This gospel is free. And those people are not having to pay to get out of purgatory no more. And there were the poor, underprivileged people anyway. And so I'm telling you, they was upset, and they told Martin Luther, if you preach this, we will burn you at the stake. That was a threat. Martin Luther, praise God, he said, I have to preach what the gospel says, the Holy Scriptures. I have to preach what it says. And so you and I are here today because of that man. Praise God for Martin Luther. But he didn't know much about this book either, but he did read a lot, and he had a great knowledge compared to what the others had. But now the Lord is giving us more and more and more revelation. You have to believe this magnificent book.